And not only were they getting better results, they were becoming better mothers, better wives, better colleagues. They were having results that I'm like, what is happening here? How is this transformation happening? I didn't understand it at first because these people were, women were becoming better human beings. And it wasn't until I stepped aside, interviewed hundreds of women that have graduated from my programs. And, you know, I published a transcript so that I can read them, went through them, went away, studied everything. And I realized, wow, just by telling them to lead with graciousness and showing them, that has completely changed their entire lives. It was so that whole people say, no, you know, it doesn't really mean it. It's like, no, transformation happens when you lead with gratitude.
Stay connected to gratitude. Hit the follow button right now and join thousands of listeners tuning in each week. We're the Gratitude Seekers. Come join us. Hi, Gratitude Seeker. Welcome to a new episode of the Gratitude Podcast. Our guest today is an award-winning entrepreneur, psychologist, and leadership advisor, and author of the new book, Graciously Assertive: How Becoming a Better Human Makes You a Better Leader. Her name is Dr. Yasmin David, and she's here with us on this beautiful day, and I'm really happy to have this interesting and profound conversation with her. Welcome.
Thank you so much for having me. I'm super excited to be here.
It's my pleasure. So let us know a little bit more about you, about your background.
So I'm Latina, a proud Latina. My mother's from Chihuahua, Mexico, and my dad's from Quito, Ecuador. My father is Ecuadorian Lebanese, so I'm Lebanese Ecuadorian Mexican.
Wow, I love this. I think it's just amazing how, and I think many of the listeners also come from a really interesting heritage. I myself have a really interesting combination in my ancestry. And I think this just makes us more human, more understanding of different cultures, and more accepting of different cultures. And I think that's a wonderful thing.
Absolutely. I think it's all about inclusivity, not one who's better or, you know, we're all different and equal and beautifully different, but yet so alike in so many ways. So I think just the mixture of the cultures is that really real beauty is.
Definitely. I can only imagine how amazing the food that you ate was in when you were a child. Like, I know Lebanese food is amazing, Mexican food is amazing. So I don't know about Ecuadorian food, but I think you had a really good childhood from this point of view, right?
Oh, yes. We had the enchiladas from Mexico and the frijoles negros, black beans from Ecuador that you eat with every meal.
Amazing. Wonderful. So let us know a little bit more about your work, about the things that you're doing. And we'll get into talking about the book as well.
Absolutely. So I spent the last 25 years focusing on the empowerment and development of women, many women of color, multicultural women, since being a Latina, that is really true to my heart. And it really started with my purpose when I was 5 years old, and that is to empower women and make the world a better place for them. And it came from seeing my mom struggle and growing up in an environment that was less than favorable. It was abusive, and understanding that I never wanted to be in that position, that I couldn't leave, or my mother couldn't leave because of financial reasons. She had to stay, and she didn't know the language, English language. And I remember thinking, oh no, mommy, when I grow up, I'm going to change the world and make it better for women. And ever since then, you know, people say, how did you do it? I said, it's when you're really clear on your purpose in life, you just gravitate to everything and anything that aligns with it, and you will manifest and create things. And so that's what I've done, especially in my professional career. I've built, you know, an organization, a nonprofit foundation, several companies, written 5 books, everything on the focus of empowerment of women.
That's amazing. And I am totally for empowerment. It's one of the reasons why this podcast exists, because I believe that gratitude actually helps us get empowered. It helps us see the resources that we already have at our disposal. And we, by seeing them, by appreciating them, we get to get better and to see them more. And that actually helps us be more empowered and see things from a different point of view. But I'm curious, what's your take on empowerment? Like, how do you see empowerment? What do you think about when you think about an empowered woman? Or
when I think of empowerment, it truly is about owning all of your power, all aspects of your humanity, your soul, your heart, your mind, your body. I mean, all aspects. And we as women and human beings overall tend to give our power away as we grow. We go through struggles. People criticize us. Every time we allow someone to chip a little bit off of us, to chip a little bit of power of self-esteem, it's giving our power away. So one of my books many years ago was called Take Back Your Power. And it really is about reclaiming it. And it all, I mean, it's interesting that I'm on this podcast with you, because the last probably 5 years, 6 years, my entire focus has been on everything that I do stems from gratitude, because this is where it's led me, right? Everything that I've done has led me to, when I choose to see all of my struggles, because I've had lots of tragedy in my life. And if I allow tragedy to dictate how I'm supposed to feel, I would be in depression, miserable, and an addict, an addiction. But instead, I choose to see all of my tragedies as gifts. And gift that, what did I learn from this? How am I going to grow? And how does it make me a better human being? And so it stems from gratitude and actually graciously assertive. In order to be gracious, gracious comes from being grateful.
Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. I love that. And when you think about grace, it has so many beautiful things attached to it. Like you said, being gracious comes from being grateful. But also, when you think about someone that's graceful, usually you think about the woman actually that has grace. That, you know, it's like that's something magical about her that you can put into words exactly. Like, it's not something that you can put your finger on in a sense, but you know it's there. And I think that's an incredible thing to strive for, right?
Absolutely. And gracious, the way I define gracious is really kindness, it's gratitude, it's really coming from it. It's a spiritual experience. And, you know, in business, I'm careful how I describe that, because people are like, well, but it truly is, in order to be gracious, because assertive means to self-advocate, to assert yourself. But the mistake people make is they think that's all they have to do. And it really becomes only about them. It becomes about, I want this, I need this, I'm asserting myself. And in any capacity, it needs to be mutual. So you need to lead with graciousness, with kindness, with empathy, with love, in order for the other person to open their heart and soul to you. You need to lead by example. So the assertiveness will be there. You will express what you want and what you need, but you cannot lead with that, because the other person will then shut down, because they'll feel attacked, or they'll feel, you know, they need to get defensive. So leading with graciousness is truly a gift, not only for the other person, but when you adapt yourself, or when you lead with graciousness, you really have to get into a mental and spiritual place of gratitude, which allows you as a human being to become a better person overall. So it's interesting, because that's how it all started. It all started with teaching women how to be able to have more impact because they were being too assertive and not gracious enough, and they were not getting the results they wanted. So I said, okay, I need to figure this out. I need to figure out a way to help women be able to have people listen to them, their bosses, colleagues, you know, people that report to them. And I thought, well, it's always about empathy and kindness. So I taught them how to lead and communication or with graciousness. And not only were they getting better results, they were becoming better mothers, better wives, better colleagues. They were having results that I'm like, what is happening here? How is this transformation happening? I didn't understand it at first because these people were, women were becoming better human beings. And it wasn't until I...
Wow, I love that. I love that. And I am a really practical person and I love to think about when I hear an idea, okay, how can I apply it to my life? And I'm sure that our listeners are thinking about the same thing. So let's say for a mother, how can she apply what you just said to get better results in her life?
You know, I would say first thing you do before you talk to your child, whether it's a teenager or a baby, or first thing that before you interact with anyone, ask yourself, what can I be grateful for about this person? What can I be grateful for about my 13-year-old who's driving me crazy? And instead of thinking about all the teenage stuff this kid is doing to you, think about, he has such a beautiful heart, my beautiful kid. You know, he's so kind. Whatever it is that it may be, he's such a good student, whatever, or, you know, she always makes sure that I have, I don't know, that I'm okay, whatever it may be, find something to be grateful for and thank them for it. I just want to share with you how grateful I am, or thank you so much for your beautiful heart or your kindness, and just lead with that. It will transform your relationships. I can promise you, I've seen it. I've seen it happen to hundreds and hundreds, if not thousands, of women and people, because then men come to me and say, the husbands, thank you so much. My wife is so amazing. Like, can we send her to another leader programs? And I laugh because then the women start saying, you need to have a men's program, because, you know, we laugh about it. But just think in gratitude before you speak to anyone. And if you lead that way, it'll start changing. You'll not only become a better human being, because your spirit and your heart will shift to that space. And that really determines your energy for the rest of the day, or at least for the next hour. And if you do that consistently, your energy will stay in a space of gratitude.
I absolutely love this. And it makes so much sense. And actually, you have anticipated one of my questions, like, why do you believe it actually works that well? But it makes a lot of sense, because people tend to show us what we think about them, what we project onto them. And if we make this effort, because it is, in many situations, like you just mentioned, it is an effort. It's something that we don't do naturally, usually. But when we do that, we get a whole different experience of the other person.
Absolutely. It's incredible to see where we all have it in us. We just have to tap into it. We have to tap into it. And it does take effort, more for some than others, depending on where they're at in their life, on their journey. But it does take effort. But the payoff and the return on your investment of time and energy to do this is monumental. I see it every day. I live it in my own life. I mean, my life is so fulfilling. I mean, I have bad days, but it's so fulfilling because I do live with gratitude, and I lead with gratitude on everything that I do with people. And there's times that I catch myself that I'm not, because I'm bothered by somebody, and I say, okay, I need to shift because I'm not getting the best of that person unless I project the best of me. Right. So it's a lot of self-awareness, a lot of social awareness about how your energy impacts people, and self-management and self-regulation about who do I want to be and how do I shift to show up in a positive and grateful way. But you have to want it. You have to want it. You know, so it's interesting, because some people that are not really invested in becoming that yet, they're more invested on results of their communication. I say, okay, then I because I said, be strategic, be, you know, live in gratitude, be kind in order for people to listen to you, because I know what it will lead to. Once they start getting positive results, they'll love it, and then they'll naturally do it more, and then they'll become more gracious. So I don't, now I believe that even if you don't want to be gracious for the sake of being gracious, you want more to communicate better, I'll meet them where they're at. I'll meet them where they're at, because I know what the result will be.
Beautiful. I think it's actually a great way of connecting to gratitude and of starting a gratitude practice, basically, because one of the beautiful things about gratitude is that we can find different ways of integrating it into our lives. And I think it's one of the best things we can do. One of the best things we can do actually is to find ways in which we can use it as often as possible as a tool for better communication, for different things that actually will bring even better results in our life, and it will help us actually make that that shift that you mentioned, because it makes so much sense. Like if we think about ourselves, like if we think to ourselves that we are not good, that we're not good enough, that I don't know, all kinds of things that we tend to say to ourselves. When we talk to ourselves in this way, we tend to act in that particular way. We tend to believe at some point that we are actually not good enough, for instance. And if we start with that with other people, it makes sense that this is what we're going to get from them, right?
Absolutely. We project the energy and other people respond to it. If we leave with gratitude, if we lead with graciousness, 90% of the time, and this is research that's been proven, people reciprocate behavior 90% of the time. So if you lead with graciousness, gratitude, 90%, they're going 90% of the time, they're going to reciprocate. You're going to have your 10% that are not, but that those are just, you know, people who are just invested in staying however they want to stay. But 90% of the time, people reciprocate. So it takes one person to change the dynamics of an interaction.
Wow. Talking about empowerment, like how impactful you can actually be by just starting this. And like you said, this actually can take on, like if you see someone doing that with you, and you want to do it after you've been impacted in a positive way, you want to do it with other people, you see how amazing it is, and you basically pay it forward in this way, I think it leads to a really beautiful gratitude movement in which people start by really seeing and appreciating the something about the other person and starting with that instead of all kinds of other things. But I'm really curious if you have like a story that comes to mind that's related to this and how a situation shifted or something like this.
You know, absolutely. So in 2019, I was asked to be a commencement speaker for a college graduation of like 9,000 people. So I had to come up with a speech, and I remember sitting down and saying, God, I'm a very spiritual person. I'm not religious, but spiritual. And I said, God, I don't know what I'm going to tell 9,000 people, but please, you know, put in me whatever you want for me to say. And I came up with a speech called Finding the Gift. And Finding the Gift is about three major experiences in my life. You know, the abuse I went through with my father, my mother not removing us from an abusive situation, and me ending up, my father had tried to kill us, so I ended up becoming addicted to drugs, and I went to rehab, and going to rehab, and I said, people might see this as personal failures, or my father failed me, my mother failed me, and I failed myself, but I see each of them as a gift, and the gift of my father gave me the gift of purpose, not what he did, but what came of it, what I chose to make of it, right? So my mother gave me the gift of empathy, because she really wanted to leave, but she didn't feel she had the strength. And everybody's on their own journey, and you need to honor their journey wherever they're at. And then rehab, I was suicidal at the time. I was 22. If it wasn't for rehab, where I found community, I found a reason to live, because we were together, you know, helping each other heal. I made a choice that any organization I had, anything I did was going to be done in community. And now all my companies and everything that I do, all our cohorts, they're all based on community of women supporting each other. So I said, you know, it's choose to find the gift in all of your tragedies, and you will be able to change the world by finding the gift and doing something with it. And that went viral. And I took that and I created an entire program around it in my programs, where I now have finding the gift assignments in my courses, where women need to identify their greatest tragedies in their life and finding the gift in them and being grateful for them. And it transforms their lives. So I have thousands of women each year that are doing this assignment now based on the speech that I gave, that I always reverse engineer. I do something, it has remarkable results, and I'm like, what did I do and how did that happen? And then I reverse engineer to figure out what I did and then be able to replicate it. So replicating my speech and turning it into an actual assignment for other women, because that was really an assignment for me. I told myself, what is the gift in each of these? And taking them through it has completely changed. Now they graduate, and 5 years later, I see them talking on TV or something. They'll be like, I find the gift in everything. I was like, oh my gosh, that's what they learned in my program. So it makes me really excited to see the impact of just, you know, this assignment, which came from my experience of finding the gift in all our tragedy.
As you might already know, my favorite drink is water, and I'm a big advocate for it. I believe gratitude flows easier through our bodies when we stay hydrated with pure, healthy water. That's why you've got to check out AquaTrue. AquaTrue purifiers use a 4-stage reverse osmosis purification process, and their countertop purifiers work with no insulation or plumbing. It removes 15 times more contaminants than ordinary pitcher filters and are specifically designed to combat chemicals like PFAS in your water supply. PFAS are found in almost 45% of US tap water, and I'm grateful that AquaTrue is certified to remove these contaminants. Another amazing thing is that they have water purifiers to fit every type of home, from installation-free countertop purifiers to higher capacity under-the-sink options. They even have a Wi-Fi-connected purifier and mineral boost options. Just one set of filters from their classic purifier makes the equivalent of 4,500 bottles of water. That's less than 3 cents a bottle. Plus, you'll save the environment from tons of plastic waste. In addition to drinking water, you can use it for your coffee, tea, and all of your cooking needs, from boiling pasta or veggies to making stocks and soups. We really love AquaTrue. It more than doubled the water intake, and it tastes so good. It's also so easy to install and use, you can even send it to your parents or grandparents to support their health. AquaTrue comes with a 30-day money-back guarantee and even makes a great gift. Today, my listeners receive 20% off any AquaTrue purifier. Just go to aquatrue.com. That's AquaTrue.com and enter code gratitude at checkout. That's 20% off any AquaTrue water purifier when you go to aquatrue.com and use promo code GRATITUDE.
I love this. And I think that there's so much stuck energy in those situations, and it just wants to come out, and it wants to be expressed in some way. And I think we all have these kinds of situations. We all have some kind of challenges, whether from childhood or from other parts of our life, and they store a lot of energy, actually, that's stuck there. And when we actually get to express it and to do something with it, it makes a lot of sense that there's a huge impact there.
Absolutely. And usually stuck energy turns into illness, right, in our bodies and our minds, that usually a lot of our diseases and everything comes from energy that is just stuck and it's toxic, right? Because there's trauma there and we don't push it through. We don't heal it. We don't do something positive with it. So it just festers in our body and it turns into illness. And I've done a lot of research around this because I have seen that many of autoimmune diseases, there's a lot of trauma in their lives, right? So to me, people will push back and say, well, I can't find the gift in my tragedy. I said, don't find the gift in your tragedy. Find the gift in what did it teach you? And it hasn't taught you anything yet. What's the greatest thing you can take from it? Did it make you become stronger, more resilient? There has to be something that happened because of it that you can be grateful for. You just have to find it. You just have to search, right? So you have to take the time to search. And the people that do search and find it, they free themselves from always seeing that experience as something only negative. They can see the negative in it, but they can see the positive they made of it. And that is where the freedom of the energy goes.
Yeah, it's something so deep and so personal for many of us. And that part about how it impacts us physically as well, that's so true. And I've seen it in my experience, in the experience of people around me, that, and I'm a total believer in this, and the fact that we actually risk becoming ill because we have these kinds of situations that are stuck inside of us, inside of our brain, inside of our hearts. And if we don't find a way to overcome them or to see the gift and use that energy one way or another, it's something that can lead to different things. And even if it already did, I believe that it can be changed if we do something about it.
Absolutely. I think anything is possible. We've seen science not be able to explain some miracles that happen where people hear from cancer and they're like, we don't know how that happened. And they drive themselves crazy because they want to claim science and they just can't. And it's just, the power of whatever it is we want to believe in that makes us better. It could happen. I'm a true believer that anything is possible. And I think it's mostly because of what I've been able to do with all the tragedy in my life. If I sat here and told you what I have been through and what I have survived and how I see the world, even though I've lived through that, I should not be seeing the world so beautiful given what I have lived. But I do, because I've chosen to do that and have found a way to do that and have built an entire career, and organizations, businesses, and empower doing that. And I live a very, very fulfilled life from my heart and soul. But it's all because of the work that I put into it on making sure that I do find the gift, because that is what frees me.
Yeah. It's a really different situation and I admire people like you a lot, because since we are having this conversation, we are not thinking about the people that unfortunately weren't or aren't able to, we're not focusing on the people that aren't able at this moment to choose to see things in a different way, that are unfortunately still addicted, that are unfortunately still going through all kinds of struggles. And the fact that you were able to overcome, and people in general, maybe many of our listeners that were able to overcome such difficulties and are choosing, in our case for the listener, that are choosing to tune in and to listen to something that can uplift them, that can make them have a better perspective on life and see more gratitude around. I think this is something incredible. Like, it's I can imagine how hard it must have been in those moments. And
oh yeah, those moments were, I just remember thinking like, God, I don't, if I have to live like this, I don't want to live. I mean, it was so painful. And, you know, but now, like I lost my oldest sister who was 2 years older than me 2 years ago. And my baby sister died as well. So there was three girls and now it's only me. And my mom only has one daughter and she had three. So, you know, I am now in a place where it hurts and it hurts very deeply. But the first thing I can think about is, God, just let me find the gift in this sooner rather than later, because this is very, and I say, you know, I can't wait to learn what I'm going. I can't wait to see what I'm going to learn from this and what I'm going to help others with this experience. Right. And I'm still in that process with my sisters, trying to figure out what, you know, but it helps me heal. It helps me heal. And so, but it's my perspective. It's my that I choose to have and all that happens. And being able to see what gift can my sister give the world through me from her death, right? Mm-hmm. Through me, what can I share with the world about her that can help others? That so, and it's just in trying to figure that out, it keeps me focused on the gratitude and being grateful, finding the gift in her life and whatever it may be. But I do that for everything in my life.
Yeah, when it comes to these kinds of situations, I usually, after the grieving period, I love to think about the fact that they are still living through me, like the beautiful things that they have seeded inside of me are still living. And the way I'm acting, the way I'm the way I am in the world and the way I do things is also thanks to them, and they are still impacting the world through me. And I think this works great for your situation as well. Like I see you having like two angels that are I don't know, they are just pushing you forward, and gracefully, of course, but yeah, taking care of you and just making sure that you are doing the amazing work that you're doing in a beautiful way.
And you know, it's interesting you say that, because absolutely, like, I love my life here and I feel so blessed. But if I were to have to leave tomorrow, if something happened and I die tomorrow, I'm also looking forward to seeing them and being with them after. So either way, I'm good. I'm happy. Yeah. Either way, I'm not afraid.
Yeah. And that's the best perspective that you can have. And I believe that it's something that we can control and something that we can feel empowered by. And this is what we started with. And I believe it's a good ending point as well for our time together. The fact that we can get empowered, we can see the power that we already have, the resources that we already have, and see them in the people around us, and choose to see those beautiful things, and make sure that they see them as well, and we can move things forward in a beautiful way thanks to that.
Thank you. It was beautiful. And thank you so much for this podcast that you have and the energy you bring to it. So needed in this world. Thank you.
Yeah, it's my pleasure. And I'm really happy that we got to have this beautiful conversation. And this we got to talk about this beautiful idea of appreciating people, of seeing what we can appreciate about the other person, telling the other person how what we appreciate about them, and spreading the gratitude. So before we wrap things up, let our audience know, where can they find out more about you, how they can get the book?
Sure, they can find the book Graciously Assertive, How Becoming a Better Human Makes You a Better Leader at their local bookstore or on Amazon or Barnes & Noble. And they can find me at dryasmininstitute.com, my website, or on social media, Dr. Yasmin Institute or Dr. Yasmin Davidson. Just Google me and they can find me.
Perfect. Thank you so much. And if you have an idea that you want to share with our audience to make them think, to make them feel something out of this conversation, I would be glad to hear it.
Absolutely. I would say whatever it may be that you have gone through in life, even the worst of the worst, focus on finding the gift. Find the gift of your experience, what you learned from it, what came of it, whatever it may be, and it will free you from seeing that experience in only a negative way. You can find positive and do positive with it.
Wonderful. Thank you so much once again for being a part of the Gratitude Podcast and for being here with us and for sharing your wisdom and your experience with an open heart. Thank you.
Beautiful. Thank you for having me.
Hey, Gratitude Seeker. Thank you so much for taking the time to listen to this interview. I really appreciate it. And if you could think of one person that would also benefit from it, share it with them. It might actually be the inspiration that they need to make their day or maybe even their life much better. Thank you so much once again. This has been Georgian Benta. Don't forget to keep seeking and spreading gratitude.
Ohio, ready for some quick mental health facts? Let's go. Nearly 2 million Ohioans live with a mental health condition. In the U.S., more than 50% of people will be diagnosed with a mental illness in their lifetime. Depression is a leading cause of disability worldwide. So why are some of us still stigmatizing people living with a mental health condition when we know all of this? Let's listen to the facts and beat the stigma. Ohio, challenge what you know about mental health at beatthestigma.org.
Are you experiencing more lack in your life than you used to? Unfortunately, some things are not in our control, but we can control how we see them. Join me on a 7-week journey from lack to abundance through gratitude. Go to georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse. That's georgianbenta.com/abundancecourse to join me now.